to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik filling in for Lucy May. Coming up a little later in the program, we'll talk about how coloring books can help heal trauma. But first, the Federal Drug Administration has moved to ban chemical hair straighteners containing formaldehyde. It's known as a human carcinogen. It can have short-term effects when inhaled, irritating the eyes, nose, skin, and throat. And these products have been connected to doubling the risk of uterine cancer. Joining me to talk about them are chemist, adjunct instructor, University of Cincinnati's Cosmetic Science Program, Kelly Dobos. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Marianne.
And we hope joining us soon will be Hamilton County Commission President Alicia Reese. She has spoken out about discrimination against natural hair and spoke before Cincinnati Council when it was considering adding natural hair to the city's anti-discrimination policy. You can email your questions to talk@wvxu.org or give us a call at 513-419-7100, 513-419-7100. And if you have your own stories related to natural hair or some of these hair straighteners, feel free to call or email talk and tell us about your personal situation. So, Kelly, to start off with, let's talk about what hair relaxers are. What do they do? Tell us all about them.
I think it's always good to start with a little description of hair structure. So hair is primarily made of a protein called keratin. And in that keratin, we have different types of bonds. And there's, you know, when we think about styling hair, there's hydrogen bonds. And then we have some other bonds as well that, you know, hydrogen bonds are easier to manipulate. So if I style my hair with heat, I can, you know, change the hydrogen bonds, but we know that's temporary, right? So if I go out in humid weather, that curl is going to fall out of my hair. So personally, I have very straight hair, and it wants to go back to its natural state. But then we have other bonds in hair that are stronger and harder to break. And if we think about the structure like a ladder, and the bonds are the rungs on that ladder, we need to break those bonds and then reform them in a different position to keep the structure of the hair either, you know, straight or curly if we did a permanent wave, for example, as well. So those are the basic principles on how hair straighteners work.
So that's how they work, and some of them are stronger than others. Do you need, depending on what you're looking for, do you need a stronger chemical depending on what you're trying to do?
So most of the chemicals that are used in hair straighteners are very basic on the pH scale. So things like historically, you'll see lye was used, which is sodium hydroxide, or today we use calcium hydroxide, and there's thioglycolates and guanidine carbonate is another material. And so these are very basic materials that will break that bond. And then we apply other chemicals to then reform those bonds and hold them into place.
So formaldehyde, where does formaldehyde come in?
So formaldehyde is a very small molecule, and why it's you know, we've seen it appear in things like Brazilian blowouts or hair straighteners is because that very small molecule can penetrate the hair fiber, and it helps re-cross-link those bonds when we're trying to create a new structure in the hair. Unfortunately, formaldehyde, you know, itself is not used as an ingredient, but you'll see things on the label like methylene glycol or formalin. And when those are exposed to heat, so a lot of times these processes will also use heat, and that releases the formaldehyde gas, which is then what can be problematic for, you know, to inhale or, you know, irritates the eyes as well.
So you've got these concerns about formaldehyde. How dangerous is the product?
Formaldehyde, we know, is a carcinogen. The IIARC has listed it, and there's OSHA regulations around exposure for formaldehyde as well. And it can be as low as parts per million that can be problematic. And what I would say is that consumers should really look at the labels of their products and read the ingredient statement, because cosmetics need to be labeled according to regulations here in the United States, and those ingredients should be properly disclosed. And the FDA has issued warning letters to companies who have not disclosed these ingredients. So it's really important to be aware of what the ingredient statement says as well.
So they don't always say what's really inside? Is that what you're saying?
The cosmetic companies, by law, do need to label their ingredients. Unfortunately, barriers to entry can be low for cosmetic materials cosmetic products getting on the market because of the internet and how easily we can have things cross borders. And unfortunately, there are companies that, of course, do not comply with the regulations, but your reputable and conscientious companies are doing their due diligence and labeling their ingredients. I think it's, often that we see things that may be coming through other sources that you can order off the internet, and they're not necessarily complying. If your product does not have an ingredient statement, then that should be flagged and something you should also be reporting to the FDA so the FDA can follow up on this as well.
Let's talk about some of the products that are out there for home use. I didn't realize, and I guess it's true, that people can do this on their own or they can have it done at the salon. And are the products that are at the salon any likely to be more reputable, perhaps, than products that you're going to find on your own?
Products that you buy from, again, look at the manufacturer of the company, and there are large global brands that really do their due diligence. They have toxicologists on staff. They do safety studies. This brings up another interesting point is the regulations in the United States are evolving. You may have heard of MOCRA, the Modernization of Cosmetics Regulation Act. Cosmetic companies previously had to, the FDA has always said that you have to prove your products are safe, and it's been the responsibility of the manufacturer. And now the FDA will be taking a stance on, or taking more of a look into that and being able to request that information from the manufacturer. So good, reputable companies do their due diligence. I think you have to be careful when it's product that you are maybe buying, from Amazon and you can't look at the ingredient statement. You always want to be sure you can see the ingredient statement on your label to ensure that not only can you understand the safety, but then you can, understand if the manufacturer is complying with regulations.
So for right now, manufacturers can use formaldehyde in these products. It's legal.
So the FDA has never had a list of ingredients that are permitted, or the FDA does have some ingredients that are restricted. But again, because an ingredient, when we talk about safety, it gets down to the toxicology. And that's always, you may have heard the dose makes the poison. So it's not just necessarily the chemical itself, but it's how much you're exposed to it and the route of exposure, how you're exposed to it. So I would talk for example, sodium hydroxide is a very strong base. If I were to get it on my skin, it would be very corrosive to the skin in its, if it was a very high concentration. However, we use it in many cosmetics as a pH adjuster at very small levels. So if I see it on the label and, it's at a very small concentration, it's no longer, in that caustic state where it's going to hurt my skin. So we think about safety in terms of the ingredient, how much you're exposed to, and how you're exposed to it.
Joining us now is Hamilton County Commission President Alicia Reese. She's spoken out about discrimination against natural hair and spoke before Cincinnati Council when it was considering adding natural hair to the city's anti-discrimination policy. Hello, Commissioner.
Hello.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm well. Thank
Sorry,
you so
I'm
much.
Late. We're in budget negotiations.
Busy day today. Busy day today.
Yes, a little bit busy.
Well,
supposed to be on camera, or is it just
no? We're just on the radio right now, and we are on the air right now.
Okay.
I've been talking also with our other guest, Kelly Dobos from the University of Cincinnati. She's a chemist and an adjunct instructor there. We've been talking a lot about hair straightening products and what's in them. We thought you might, since especially you spoke out about anti-discrimination related to natural hair, talk a little bit about why you feel that some people may be, Black women perhaps especially, may feel pressured to use these types of products.
Yes, when I was elected to council in back in 1999, I was wearing braids, and you know, people were telling me that, you know, you can't do that. And I was the youngest woman at that time, and also youngest African American. And I wanted to be able to, you know, wear my natural hair, wear my braids, and I wore them and went on to become vice mayor. And so it really caught on around the country when people saw me and saw me be able to be my authentic self in terms of my hair and change it up. You know, I change it up from different time to times. But what I was doing was my hair had, you know, really started to suffer because I had a lot of straighteners over the years and those kind of things. And so I wanted to be able to just kind of give my hair a break and braid it. And my beautician was telling me if we start to do the braids and we can break away from that and we could start to rebuild the strength of your hair. And so that's one of the reasons I was wearing. And the other thing, it was, you know, stylish. I like to do, you know, change up. African-American women really like to change up our hairstyles. We don't like to just keep one style. So fast forward, I was happy to come and testify when the legislation and the Crown Act started to grow in Cincinnati. Passing its version of the Crown Act, they asked me to come back and tell about some of the things I had to experience with a lot of pressure, people trying to get me to not wear my braids and not change up my hairstyles. In fact, one of the things someone had said about me in political circles, high level, they would say, the only thing bad is that you change your hair and you wear braids. And I'm like, that's not a bad thing. So I'm happy about what's happening with the Crown Act. That's going forward around the country. But now also looking at the other side of things in terms of these chemicals and some of them that have links to cancer. My mother died of breast cancer, so I'm very serious about this. She died at 57. And I'm even working now at the county to try to put together a cancer caucus. And that will allow us to be able to discuss issues like this in terms of the different chemicals and things that we wouldn't even think of that is causing these high introductions to cancer and causing African-American women to develop all types of cancer. So I am really supportive, and I appreciate the adjunct professor. And I think having Cincinnati, you know, and Hamilton County be in this conversation is very important. I've talked to a lot of beauticians who have now done a lot of changes to natural products, looking at what's in the products, reading the fine print of the products, advising women, particularly Black women, on other ways that we can look a certain way with our hair without the chemicals killing us.
Kelly, can you speak to to those kinds of dangers related to cancer? And I think uterine cancer especially has been mentioned.
You know, I am not a toxicologist, so I don't have as much information as, you know, a toxicologist would about the subject. But we do know that there are risks associated with formaldehyde exposure, especially through inhalation. And, you know, when we look at these products and the labeling, I go back to the labeling as well. We should always be looking at the warning statements that are on the labeling and the use instructions as well to use them in the safest possible manner. And I would say, you know, look at the products on the market, and there are products that don't contain these ingredients. They contain safer ingredients. Again, I think about the chemistry. We're having to break bonds in the hair, so we have to do something. You know, they need to be strong materials if you want to have that change in the hair structure. But there are materials like, again, the calcium hydroxide or the guanidine carbonate that are safer, and those you'll find those on the labels of those products.
Commissioner Reese, do you feel that Black women are still getting that kind of pressure to straighten their hair no matter what, to as far as the workplace is concerned?
You know, I think it has it's not as direct and bold. I think that there are times when maybe you don't get the promotion or maybe you don't get hired is becoming a little more unspoken. But then there's other opportunities where you're seeing more Black women, you're seeing them on TV, you're seeing them visibly in positions where you see them with their natural hair, you see them with braids, you see them more with Afrocentric type of styles, and showing that you can be a CEO, you can be, you know, there's times I'm at the county commission, there's some pictures when I've had my braids in. So you see a president of the board of commissioner who has worn braids. You see this in different spaces. So I think it's has opened the door somewhat, but also there still is more to do. There's still more to do. You're still hearing too many stories of folks not getting opportunities, not being pushed up, saying they don't have the right look, and all those different type of things that Black women already, when you go into the door, you being a woman that with dark skin or a skin tone, you already have to be three times better. On top of that, they're looking at, are you smiling a lot? It's just so many things you have to do. Are you smiling a lot? If you're not smiling enough, you got attitude, you're angry. Oh my goodness, your hairstyle, I'm not, you got braids, is that saying something? So we still have those stereotypes to overcome. However, we are seeing more and more Black women break through and opening up the process.
You talked about going to your beautician and asking them if they were using products perhaps that were safer. What do you see in the salon? Do you see women being more willing to have their natural hair, or do you still see an awful lot of people that want to straighten?
It's a combination. I think a lot of women want to have choice. I mean, one of the things, particularly with younger women, women of color, Black and brown women, we like to change up. We don't like the same look. We may have a hairstyle this week, and you know, next month we got a different hairstyle. We like the choice of freedom of how we want to look and express ourselves. And a lot of times also for us, it gives you a new attitude. When you get your hair done, you're like, man, I feel like a new woman. I want to feel this way, or I want to feel that way. It makes you just feel new and renewed. So I see a combination of women still getting hair straightened. I see a combination of extensions, wig units, braids, natural hair. But underneath, you want to make sure your hair, whatever you wear, you want to make sure your hair is healthy and is, hopefully growing. And so what I do see is a lot of women asking more questions in the salon. And I also see a lot of cosmetologists now. They're explaining more in the salons about, you know, hey, I changed this because I read this product, you know, is too strong or has this chemical. Or they'll say, I'm using this type of shampoo. It's all natural. So you're seeing even the cosmetologists being a lot more educated and explaining, and they're looking for products that are natural products. It's a big deal for natural products. And then you hear about younger kids, my nieces, they just turned 14. And I know when they go, my sister is very conscientious about what product are we putting on their hair. They want to have their hair straightened, but can we use a natural product that doesn't have all those chemicals? And so they're able to do that, and the thickness of their hair continues, because a lot of people, when we were younger, maybe didn't know any better, our parents, and first thing you do is get a perm, and it thinned your hair. It was, it was long, but it started to thin out. It started to have your hair kind of get dead ends and fall out. So hearing even parents now being more conscientious with and the cosmetologists being conscientious with the youth to make sure that this is something that's going to help their hair grow and not something that will take out their natural curl pattern.
We're talking about the concern of formaldehyde in hair products. We'll continue our discussion in just a moment. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik filling in for Lucy May. We've been talking about the FDA proposed ban on chemical hair straighteners containing the highly toxic carcinogen formaldehyde. My guest, chemist, adjunct instructor at the University of Cincinnati's Cosmetic Science Program, Kelly Dobos, and Hamilton County Commission President Alicia Reese. She's spoken out about discrimination against natural hair and spoke before Cincinnati Council when it was considering adding natural hair to the city's anti-discrimination policy. You can email your questions to talk@wvxu.org or call us with your stories about your issues with hair straightening at 513-419-7100. Kelly, let's talk a little bit about some of the products in terms of natural products versus synthetic products. Commissioner Reese talked a lot about a lot of people really trying to use natural products. Now, talk about the difference.
Sure. So as a chemist, this is something I'm passionate about talking about. You know, chemicals surround us everywhere, right? Water is a chemical. So it's important to define when we talk about materials in, you know, their safety is, you know, there are chemicals, of course, that are dangerous. But I go back to toxicology and we think about, you know, again, dose makes the poison. How much are we exposed to? And natural materials can be just as dangerous as synthetic materials. It's really determined by the chemistry of the material itself. So natural doesn't necessarily mean safer. And I think that's a big misconception in the public that natural materials are safer. In fact, we even see natural products have, you know, become problematic in terms of, you know, they tend to, you know, be harder to preserve as far as cosmetics go. And so I always think about let's talk about the safety of the material itself, not whether it's natural or synthetic, because both can be dangerous.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Let's talk a little bit in terms of, Commissioner Reese, you were talking about what it was like in the beauty salon and what people are doing now. What's your prediction for all of this? Do you think it'll make sense if they do, the FDA does get formaldehyde banned?
Well, I think whether they get it banned or not, I think the fact that it has taken center stage. And just like now us having this type of conversation and like, you know, just learning, you know, because I'm not a toxicologist either, and neither are a lot of the cosmetologists. But I do think it will begin to have us start to read what are the ingredients that are in these or natural or non-natural mixes, and what are the, you know, what are the potential hazards. So I'm not sure if they'll be able to get it banned, but I do know that there is a movement to crack down on things that are causing cancer. And I do think that if that's one of the things that is causing cancer, it needs to be cracked down on, and we need to get rid of it because we've got way too many people dying of cancer, and we've got to make a stop to it. I'm not sure if this is the stop or the only stop, but again, we've got to now start paying closer attention to what are we putting on our head, on our hair. Is that causing issues? Because we've got a next generation of little girls that are going to the beauty shops or either going to the stores and getting different chemicals to do their hair. I mean, the hair and beauty industry is a multi-billion-dollar industry. And that's something that we definitely need to maybe to start a new behavior because I'll know I wasn't, you know, when I go to the beauty store, I'm not looking like I should be, you know, what is this? What is that? What is this? I hadn't been doing that. And now I'm doing it, trying to do it a lot more because we're putting it out there to the public. So I think the education part is most important with this particular bill, this particular argument gets us to start thinking.
Kelly, as I understand it, that the target date to have this banned is April, this coming April. What has to happen between now and then for the FDA to actually get this ban in place?
You know, the legislation always takes time. And unfortunately, even with the, you know, the new regulation, the MOCRA that was supposed to be coming into force here at the end of this year has been, the enforcement has been pushed back another 6 months. So I think always we have to give them time to get this through. So I think it's going to take time. But I certainly think it's possible for it to happen. And I just wanted to, as we were talking about consumer safety and education of consumers, I see so many more consumers have access to information today, you know, with the internet and fortunately a lot of misinformation. But I wanted to give a good website for consumers to go to, cosmeticsinfo.org, which is managed by the Personal Care Products Council here in the United States, which is a great resource for information about different types of products and ingredients as well. You can search particular ingredients and find safety information. And it's a really valuable resource, I think, for consumers out there to take a look at.
All right. Cosmeticsinfo.org. Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you both for being here. It's really been an enlightening discussion.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for bringing this issue forward, because like you said, the more educated we become, I think the better for all. And we've got to fight this cancer. And like you said, we think we're doing natural hair. That might not be the right chemical. So thanks for the website. And I will definitely pass that along.
Thank you so much. We've been talking about the FDA's proposed ban on chemical hair straighteners containing the highly toxic carcinogen formaldehyde. My guests were chemist, adjunct instructor at the University of Cincinnati's Cosmetic Science Program, Kelly Dobos, and Hamilton County Commission President Alicia Reese. In just a moment, we'll hear how coloring books can help heal trauma. This is Cincinnati Edition.